We'll continue talking about that this morning. If you will, turn with Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And as you turn there, the Bible said, "Merry heart doeth good like medicine." So I got some medicine for you this morning. Remember, these are just humorous stories, so please don't be offended by them, okay? Joy went to Joy, who had just dyed her hair, went to the hospital because her whole body hurt. She told the doctor that wherever she touched herself, it would hurt. The doctor told her to demonstrate. She touched her nose and it hurt. She touched her stomach and it hurt. The doctor asked her if she was a blonde. She said, "Yes." He said, "Look here, lady, your finger's broken." And I forgot to do what I'm supposed to do. See, starting the new year off. Come on, let's make our confession this morning. I'm sorry. I apologize, church. This is the Word of God. And I have what it says I have. And I can be what it says I can be. And I can do what it says I can do. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I'm a winner and not a whiner. I'm a doer and not just a hearer. Said I'm a doer and not just a hearer. In Jesus' name. All right. Now turn to somebody in front of you, behind you, next to you, say, "Thank God you brought the rest of my body." Now tell somebody, "God loves you and so do I." Amen. All right. Next joke. One Christmas, Mom decreed that she was no longer going to remind her children of their thank you note duties. As a result, the grandmother never received acknowledgments of the generous check she had given. The next year, things were different. "The children came over in person to thank me," the grandparent told a friend. "How wonderful," this friend exclaimed. "What do you think caused the change in behavior?" "Oh, that's easy," the grandmother replied. "This year, I didn't sign the checks." A brunette walks over to her blonde friend's home and finds her crying. "What happened? Why are you crying?" The blonde tells her mother has passed away. The neighbor makes her some coffee, comforts her, and then leaves. The next day, the neighbor goes back over to the house and finds the blonde crying again. This time, the blonde replies hysterically, "I just got off the phone with my sister, and her mother died too." Some of y'all get that later. Better jokes, send them to me. All I can tell y'all, okay? Last one. During a dinner party, the host of two small children entered the dining room totally nude and walked slowly around the table. The parents were so embarrassed, they pretended nothing was happening and kept the conversation going. The guests cooperated and also continued as if nothing extraordinary was happening. After going all the way around the room, the children left. And during a moment of silence at the table, one of the children was heard to say, "You see, I told you, that's vanishing cream." All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. "To everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit has a worker from that in which he labors? I have seen the God-given task with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from beginning to end. Church, we talked about this last week. We all experience change and transformation in life. Sometimes life is exciting, and sometimes we feel like we're on top of the world. Other times we just want to go away and escape the situation. King David said, "Oh, that I could fly away with wings like a dove." You ever been in a situation you wish you could just get up and get out of it? We got to understand the seasons. If we do not understand that there are seasons in life, we may draw the wrong conclusions about what is happening in our lives or the reasons for it. God has a plan and a purpose to make our life beautiful. God has us in a process, church. We can't see the scope of God's work from beginning to end because we're short-sighted. We have tunnel vision. We can only see what we're going through right now. But God has a plan. He has a purpose for every one of our lives, church. He wants to make it better than what we've accepted. I don't know about you, but I know what my life was when I was running the streets, when I was running drugs and doing all the things I was doing. And I know what my life's been since I've found God and allowed God to change what He needs to change in my life. And don't get me wrong, I have not arrived, church. God's still working on this old boy just like He's working on y'all. So don't ever get the idea and put somebody on a pedestal. When you put somebody on a pedestal, it's a long way for them to fall. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. But I thank God that I have a better life now because of what God's done in my life. Amen. In tough times where health, money, friends, marriage is not looking good, we may wonder what's going on. See, a lot of people get the wrong idea and they think, well, I got saved and I gave my life to God and everything's just going to be good. No. He said it's going to be possible. But he also said you got an adversary of the devil who goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We got an enemy. Everything God wants to do in your life, He wants to destroy in your life. He wants to keep it from happening in your life. Amen? So you're going to have conflict. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tests in life. It's not always going to be easy. But God makes us beautiful through all the trials, through the circumstances. I think about it. If you hadn't gone through, and none of us like going through some of the things we went through, but if you hadn't gone through that, maybe you wouldn't have changed to become who you are today. Or maybe you would continue to make the same mistake over and over and over and over. Amen? It's during these tough seasons that we grow the most in our character. It's difficult to form outstanding character in seasons of pure prosperity. If everything's going good all the time and life was simple and easy, we wouldn't change. If you stop and think about it, it's during the tough times that you want to draw closer to God. It's during the tough times you prayed more than you used to. It's during the tough times you want to be in the house of God. Amen? Before we got saved, yeah, during the tough times, what would we do? Pop a pill, open a drink, smoke a joint, do something. But you know what? Those were all temporary things. And when you came down, when you got through being high and you come back down to being normal, guess what? The problem's still there. Amen. Amen? That's why God ordains seasons where we have to fight, where things don't come easy. Think about your life. The things you had to fight for, they're more important to you, aren't they? We have different seasons. Maybe you're single and you're wanting to be married. And that may be the seasons you're going through right now. There can be seasons of unemployment. And then there's seasons of prosperity where you have plenty. But all these things are seasons, church. If you try to hang on to something that's in the past, it can turn sour. Don't try to push something in the wrong season. And we don't need to look back all the time wishing for our favorite season of the past to return. Oh, if I could just get back to the good old days. Oh, if I don't want to go through this, I want to go back to this. But church, unless you go through this, you're never going to be an overcomer. Amen. See, all of us, we all want victory, but we don't want a battle. We all want a testimony, but nobody wants to go through the test. We all want to be overcomers, but nobody wants to overcome anything. Instead, church, we got to forget what lies behind and push forward to what lies ahead. We said this last week. If you ever tried to drive your car looking in the rearview mirror? That's going to end up crashing, isn't it? And that's the way a lot of us are. We're looking in the rearview mirror. We're looking behind us all the time. What could have been? What should have been? How come it didn't happen? As long as you're looking back there, you're never going to see what God has for you over here. Amen? And always remember, no matter what season you're in, no season lasts forever. This too shall pass. Change is always on its way. It's like a coin with two sides. Life has a way of changing. Kind of like the Texas weather. You don't like it, just wait. It'll change. Amen? Good seasons come and good seasons go. Bad seasons come and bad seasons go. But they don't last forever. Maybe you're heartbroken and you've gone through a failed relationship and you feel like, will this ever end? Yes, it will. But while you're going through it, you feel like it's never going to end. This is it. But God says that's just for a season. Amen? King David said, now in my prosperity I shall never be moved. Good season of prosperity don't last forever. Good times come and good times go, church. A change of seasons is not a sign that you are a good or a bad person. When bad things happen, it's not a sign that you're a bad person. It's just a sign that bad things are happening. When we see somebody going through something, they think, well, I knew that was going to happen to them. They're just reaping what they sowed. Who are you to judge them? You don't know what they've gone through. You don't know what caused them to be where they are. You're not walking in their shoes. You're not having to deal with what they have to deal with. Amen? Bad things do happen to good people. Take Job, for example. He had good season, but he's remembered for the terrible time of oppression and the losses he's faced. Yet he was a righteous man. Don't assume that you're worse than some others if you're suffering a loss or you're going through a season of a loss or you're going through a trial. Amen. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, there will be springtime and harvest, winter and summer, day and night. There are going to be seasons until Jesus returns and maybe beyond. There's going to be seasons, church, when you're going to sow, and there's going to be seasons when you're going to reap. Never let your season define who you are. Don't change what you believe according to what season you're in. People often make bad decisions in tough seasons. When you're in a challenging or difficult season, don't do too much. Be careful what meaning you give things in the tough seasons of God. A lot of times think, well, oh, God's just forgotten all about me. God doesn't care anymore. God hasn't forgotten you. Go back to what the Word says. The Word says God will never forsake you. It doesn't matter what we're experiencing, what we're going through. God is the same. He doesn't change. We change because we allow outside circumstances to change us. In the life of Joseph, in the book of Genesis, we see that the season of prosperity will be always preceded by pits and prison. Character was developed in the pit and the prison. Oh, we like it. We like the fact that Joseph was promoted to be the second in charge of all of Egypt. I mean, I'd like to have that position. But we forget all the stuff he had to go through. They family threw him in a pit. They put him in a prison and forgot about him. He had to go through all those things before he got to the palace, church. And sometimes you may be going through your pit. You may be going through some of these things. But God has got better for you if you remain faithful. Joseph remained faithful. Joseph kept the right attitude. So many times when we're going through stuff, we begin to murmur. We begin to complain. We begin to blame other people. But God has something better, and he has something better for you, church. Amen. God's plans don't change just because your seasons do. God's plan for Joseph to be a great ruler never changed because he was put in the pit or because he was put in the prison. God is still with you whether you're in the pit or whether you're in the palace church. Most seasons are followed by opposite seasons. We don't control everything in life. There are a lot of things we can't control. And life has a way of popping up with different things. The only one that's not surprised is God. He's not sitting up in heaven and said, "Man, I didn't see that coming." Keep the dream in your heart at all times. Don't give up your God-given dreams because your circumstances have turned sour. You don't know what God can do. So many times, God gives us a vision. God gives us a dream. God gives us a promise. And because all hell breaks loose in our life and all kinds of difficulties happen, they say, "Well, I guess it's just not going to happen." No, you keep on believing it. You keep on agreeing with what God says about the situation, and you watch God move heaven and earth to get it come to pass. Amen? You've got to be consistent in every season. Paul told Timothy, "Preach the word of God, be instant in season, out of season." Young preachers don't always understand the seasons. There will be times when things go well in church, in life, in ministry, and there's going to be other times when it's going to be hard. Whenever there are people, there's always going to be problems. Just expect it. People looking for a perfect church and a perfect pastor. Well, guess what? If you go to a perfect church and you're there, it's not going to be perfect no more because you're not perfect. Amen? Be patient. Rebuke, encourage, and give good teaching consistently. Give good teaching no matter what the season. It may be a season of harvest or it may be a season of plowing and sowing. Do what is required now and will enable you to benefit during the harvest season. Be consistent. God hates, He hates for us to be yo-yo Christians. Oh, God is awesome. He can do all kinds of things. The devil slaps you upside the head. "Oh, I don't know where God said. Doom and gloom and agony." God hasn't changed, church. Do the work that the season you are in requires. Farmers do different work at different times. There are times of planting, there's time of resting, there's time of watering, there's time of harvesting. There's a lot of preparation time in order to reap a harvest. So many times, "Oh God, I need you to bless me." What have you planted? You know, a farmer can have the most fertile soil in the world out there. And he can stand out there every day and say, "Oh, I believe a crop's coming up. I believe a crop's coming up." But if he didn't put any seed in the ground, guess what? No crop's going to come up. And we'll throw this in, church. Marriages also go through seasons. Work through the season that you are in. The Bible says a sluggard does not plow in seasons, so when the harvest time comes, he looks but finds nothing. You want a better marriage? Work on it. "Oh, I'm praying, I'm believing God's going to give me a better marriage." And then all of a sudden, God begins to deal with you and wants to change some things in you. "Oh, but you don't understand, God, I'm not the problem, it's her." Kind of like Adam told God in the Garden of Eden, "Lord, it's that woman you gave me. She's done eat us out of house and home." Amen? But you want God to do something. He's going to do what He's going to do. He's going to deal with you. He's going to get you where you need to be. "Oh, but if you'll just change her." I used to tell God all the time, "Lord, if you just make Joy where she's not so independent. Can you make her just a little meek, more meek, a little more sweet, nice?" But you know what? God knew all the women that were sweet and nice to me, I'd walked all over them. It's my way or the highway. I needed somebody going to stand up to me and tell me no. And I knew she meant it when she said no. Amen? I'm picking on her. She's not in here. Why? I know why it is. I can pick on Joy and she'll know about it before service is over. I think we got some tailbearers in here. Gossips, you know. Nope, never mind. Amen. Learn from every season that you're in. Every season has lessons of life for us, church. In Joseph's life, the plan of God was for him to rule. But before he ruled, he was ruled over. Oh, I want a church of my own. I want to be a pastor. I want, guess what, God? You know how I started out? Cleaning toilets to the little church that I came out of. That's how I started out. Then I started teaching a Bible study. Started leading the testimony service. God's not always going to start you up here, church. He's going to start you down here and let you work your way up so you appreciate it when you get up here. Amen? What I'm learning is what I'm going through right now will help me be wiser when I go through the next season. Or it's going to be useful when I have a friend that goes through this season. I went through a divorce. And I wanted God just to make it happen like that. And he said, I could, but I'm going to tear you through this. So when you meet somebody else that's going through a divorce, you're going to be able to minister to them. Church, what you're going through right now, you may not like it, but it's going to develop something in you, and it's going to give you a testimony to if somebody else is going through. Somebody's had cancer, and you've had cancer, and God's brought you through it, or you went through a financial situation, or you went through a marital problem, whatever. God is going to use that to help you to minister to somebody else. Amen? You can learn things in your dark season that enable you to minister hope and stability to others who will face these kinds of things in the future. So don't despair if there are trials. God is with you in it, and he will bring you through it. I'd much rather go through a trial with God than going in all by myself. Amen? And there's a lot of people that don't know God. They're trying to do it all on themselves. Keep the right season in your heart no matter the outside season. It's only the water that's on the inside of the boat that causes danger, not the water on the outside of the boat. Even if there's a conflict, trouble in the exterior, guard your heart. Our heart condition greatly influences the course and the situations of our life. And I believe that's because God crafts circumstances according to the lessons we need to learn. He said, guard your heart, church. When somebody hurts us, somebody offends us, what's the first thing we do? We let it affect our heart. We allow bitterness and unforgiveness to get inside. Or we let discouragement or depression get on the inside. He said, guard your heart because out of it come the issues of life. And he said, God will craft a situation or circumstance in our life to teach us something that we need to learn right now. Instead of trying to squirm out of it, oh God, get me out of this. Say, Lord God, what do you want me to learn in this? Because, you know, it's kind of like when they went through the wilderness, when the children of Israel went through the wilderness. If they would have learned their lesson quicker, they could have got through that thing, quit taking all those laps around the mountain. Amen? And God is saying, if you'll learn, it's just like your kids. If you tell your kids something and they do it the first time, you don't have to keep telling them over and over and over and over and over, do you? God says, guard your heart. You can't control what happens around you, but you can control what happens on inside. You can't control how people treat you, but you can control how you respond to what they do. Church, the world we live in, there's some nasty people out there. Even in a church house, I told you this before and I'll say it again, I've seen more love in a biker bar than I have in some churches. And there's some nasty people out there and there's people going to hurt you. But don't let what they do cause you to be like them. Then you're coming down to the devil's level. Amen? Look at Jesus' life. No matter what was happening on the outside, he still was Jesus. He didn't let the disciples affect him. He didn't let the circumstances affect him or the situation affect him. He remained who he was. Oh, if I just didn't have to go through this, or if this just hadn't happened to me. Excuses are like lies with the skin on them. Amen? Prepare for the next season. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. When things are tough, do what you know you need to do. So many times when things get tough, we just quit. Well, I'm not reading my Bible no more. I'm not going to church no more. I'm not going to hang out with them Christians no more. I'm not going to believe God no more. We just quit. No, regardless of how tough it is, keep doing. You know, if the football team goes out there and they have a difficult game and they just give up, guess what happens? They have that mindset when they go into the next game. Amen. But what do? They don't. They've decided they're going to win this next game. They get tougher, church, and that's what you and I need to do. Amen. You can have financial loss along the path of doing God's will, but God can turn it around. Prepare for the time when the favorable winds will blow again. In other words, keep doing what you're doing. Maybe you're going through a tough time. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying. Keep going to church. Keep fellowshipping. Keep believing God. Amen. Have a sense of fight, church. Don't allow the season to make you resign to whatever's happening. Well, whatever it is, whatever's going to be is going to be. No. He said we had an enemy. He wants to come steal, kill, and destroy. You have to fight him. Somebody shows up to your house this afternoon, comes in and says, I'm going to take all your furniture, your television, all your stuff. You're going to sit there and say, okay, go ahead. No, they're going to have a file in their hands. Amen. Church, we got to do the same thing. When the devil comes to steal from us what God has promised us, we got to fight for it. Come to my house and you're really going to be in trouble. Me, Jesus, and AK-47. The Lord was with Joseph in Potiphar's house, church. The Lord blessed him and favored him. If you are a favored one, you are favored no matter where you are. Did you hear what I'm saying? I like what they've been saying this morning. I'm a favorite. If you've got God's favor, you got God's favor. No matter where Joseph was at, he still had God's favor. No matter what came against him, he still had God's favor. And God still fulfilled his plan for him. Amen? Amen? There are seasons of fruitfulness and there are also seasons of hard labor. Farmers keep planting even if they lose a whole year's work due to events in nature like floods or droughts. We can be confident God is working things out for our good no matter how things are going in our external world. God's main purpose is to prepare and form us for eternity. God's not just preparing you right now. Yes, he wants you to have a blessed life, but God is trying to prepare you for eternity. He's trying to make us more and more like Jesus. He's not trying to make us comfortable. He's not just trying to make everything good in our life. He's trying to make us more like Jesus. Oh, come on, give God some praise in the house this morning. God's main purpose is to prepare us, church, for eternity, to conform us to his image. When we understand that, we can understand that we're not going to have any easy seasons all the time. Even the blessed man of Psalms 1 who meditates on the word bears fruit in its season. God's got a season for you. Whether we see fruit in our current season or not, God is still at work preparing something good for us. Church, so many people get the wrong idea. They think God's sitting up in heaven waiting for you to mess up so he can hit you with a baseball bat or a lightning bolt or whatever. No, God's for you. He's not against you. God wants good things for you. Turn with me to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. Chapter 21. Verse 15. This is the second part of the message that we started last week. Verse 15 says, moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel, and David went down, and his servants went with him and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-Benob, which was one of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David sware at him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle, that thou quench not the light of Israel. Some seasons, church, we hit the ball over the fence. Some seasons we strike out. David did it twice. One time it led to adultery and one time it almost led to his death. What I'm going to tell you this morning is don't miss your season. Amen. We talked about this last week. In order to step into a new season of life, we have to sometimes be stripped of the last. In order for God to do something new in your life, you've got to let go of the old. And I did the illustration last week when I had Gary hold all the coins in his hand. And his hands were full. And then I took a $100 bill out of my pocket and was going to give it to him. He couldn't take the $100 because his hand was full of coin. Nickels and pennies. Things that you can't really make, don't really count to much, don't amount to much. And that's the way we are. We're holding on to these little trivial things that don't amount to much. And God has got so much better for us. But our hands or our lives are so full of those meaningless things that God can't do what He wants to do. Amen. Amen. Farmers plow under last year's crop before planting this year's. A baseball catcher cannot become a batter until he first removes his catcher's uniform. And God will often take things away before He puts new things on us, church. And we also talked about comparing your season with somebody else's can kill contentment in your life. Amen. Be content with such things as you have. Amen. Comparison kills contentment. Paul says, I've learned to be content. He said, whether I've got a whole lot or I don't have anything at all, I've learned to be content. Amen. How do you think he learned? By the things he went through. Yes. We need to learn to be content. Yes. As long as we say, oh, I wish I had this person's life, or I wish I had their home, I wish I drove their car. You're never satisfied with what you have. You're not appreciative. You're not thankful. And God can't bless you like He wants to. Amen? Because your heart's wrong. We also learned last week the future is clear to God. Sometimes it's fuzzy to us. God knows what He's doing. Sometimes we don't understand. God, why didn't you just go this direction? Seemed like it'd be a lot easier. And we don't understand. But what we do know is that God loves us. And I've said this time and time again, if you don't understand what's going on, trust God's heart. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes 7:14 says, when times are good, be happy. But when times are bad, consider God has made one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. I told you this last week, the Weather Service has a computer that can do 232 trillion operations a second, and it cannot tell the weather a month out. But yet God knows the end from the beginning. Amen? Amen. Sometimes in life we get up to the plate and all we do is just kind of... And there's other times when we swing and we completely miss it. Be careful, don't miss your season. Listen to this. The opportunity of a lifetime is only good for the lifetime of the opportunity. Amen. Amen. You see, the Jews missed it twice. They missed their seasons twice. In Numbers 14:1, it says, then all the congregation lifted their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Numbers 14:2 said, and all the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and a whole congregation said to them, would that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would that we had died in this wilderness. God was taking them to a better place. But they couldn't see it. That's why I tell you all the time, you need to read your Bible. You can't have faith for something you don't have knowledge of. Amen. If you're going through a sickness and somebody asks you, well, what are you believing? Well, I'm just believing the Bible. No, you need to find a scripture that talks about sickness and disease. They said, oh, we just soon let us die out here. Numbers 14:3. And why is the Lord bringing us in this land to fall by the sword? Our wives and our little ones become plunder. Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? God is trying to take them to a promised land, a place of milk and honey. But here they are because they don't understand what's going on. They're going through some difficulty. They said, oh, God, we'd be better off when we went back in bondage. Some of us, the devil's told us the same thing. God wants to bring you out and deliver you and give you a better life, but you're telling God, I might as well go back to the addiction I had. I might as well go back to that bad marriage I had. I might as well go back to that bad situation I had. We're telling God we know better than what God does. And God said, if you'll trust me, I'm going to get you there. I'm preaching better than y'all praising this morning. Numbers 14:22 says, surely all the men who have seen my glory and my signs which I performed in Egypt in the wilderness, Yet you have put me to the test these 10 times and have not listened to my voice. Some of us, we've seen God do miracles. We've seen God do miracles in our lives and our families. And yet we still don't trust God. God told him in Numbers 14:23, shall by no means see the land which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who spurn me see it. And when Moses spoke these words to all the sons of Israel, the people mourned greatly. In the morning, how they rose up early and went up to the ridge of the hill country, saying, here we are, we have indeed sinned, but we will go up to the place where the Lord has promised. But Moses said, why then are you transgressing the commandment of the Lord when it will not succeed? Do not go up lest you be struck down before your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. God told them to go into the promised land. He said, go in and possess it. He wouldn't have told them to do it if they couldn't have done it. 12 spies went in there. 2 come back and said, man, we can do it. 10 come back and said, man, there's giants over there. And we're like grasshoppers in their eyes, and we're like grasshoppers in our eyes. And they decided, well, we didn't do it the way you told us to do it, but we decided we're going to go ahead and do it now. And God is saying, wait a minute. You should have went when I told you to go, because I'm not going to be with you now. What I'm saying to you this morning, church, sometimes we miss the season God has for us. Sometimes we miss doing what God told us in the timing He told us to do it. And then when we decide we want to do it, then we go ahead and do it. But God's no longer in it. And listen to me. It was not the giants that kept them out of the promised land. It was the 10 spies. Sometimes God has told us we can do something and we're listening to the wrong people and we're unable to walk into what God has promised us. How many times has God spoke something to you and you tell your family and all of a sudden, oh, that's not going to happen to you. That's all. That's just old fairy tale stuff. That's just mumbo jumbo stuff. I don't believe any of that stuff. And we begin to believe what our family says or what our friends say or our co-workers say instead of what God Almighty says. Numbers 14:43 said, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites which will be there in front of you, and you will fall by the sword, inasmuch as you have turned back from following the Lord, and the Lord will not be with you. The Amalekites and the Canaanites. Some of us, we got some ites in our lives. There's some things in our lives, church, that we need to overcome. And we see them as giants. We feel like we can't do it, but God says, I will be with you. But you need to do it in His time and in His season. I used to tell my mom all the time, when I get older, I'll get saved and I'll go to church then after I already got all my oats sowed and all that stuff. Thank God He didn't wait till I got older to do it. I wouldn't be here today if it had been that way. The things I was doing, I would have killed myself. Numbers 14:44 said, but they went up heedlessly to the ridge of the hill country. Neither the ark of the covenant of the Lord nor Moses left the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and struck them and beat them down as far as Hormah. You see, so the first time they missed, they failed to step into something when they were supposed to. The second time, they tried to step into something when they weren't supposed to. The exact same event on one day, it was right to do, and on another time, it was wrong. The season had changed and the Jews kept doing the wrong thing at the right time or the right thing at the wrong time. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, then we need to get in line with the Spirit. So many times, I'm following the Spirit. No, the Spirit's following you. You're telling God what you want Him to do in your life instead of letting God lead you where He wants to lead you in your life. I'm going to throw this in. I probably shouldn't. I'll probably make somebody mad. Even when it comes to going to church, oh, I don't want to go to that church anymore. I'm going to go over here to this church. Do you know what? You really don't have a choice in that. The Bible says God places you in the body where He wants you to be. Now, you may go please your flesh, but you're not pleasing God. God has you where He has you for a reason, and maybe it's just for a season. Amen? David missed God's seasons. First, he missed his season by not going out to battle at the time of battle. In 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, I'm trying to wrap this thing up. 1 Chronicles 20, verse 1. Then it happened in the spring at the time when kings go out to battle that Joab led out the army and ravaged the land of the sons of Ammon and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem and Joab struck Rabbah and overthrew it. It was in this season of missing his appointed activity that David committed adultery. Church, you should never take lightly missing God's season. Second, he missed his season by going out to battle when he should have stayed home. He was supposed to be leading his army into battle. He's the king. He decided to stay home. He stayed home, got to looking where he shouldn't have been looking, got to wanting what he shouldn't have been wanting, and look what it did to him. Amen. 2 Samuel 21:15 says, now when the Philistines were at war again with Israel, David went down in his service with him. And as they fought against the Philistines, David became weary. And then one of the descendants of the giant, the weight of whose spear was 300 shekels of bronze in weight, was girded with a new sword, and he intended to kill David. But David's men, Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, helped him and struck the Philistine and killed him. And the men of David swore to him, saying, you shall not go out again with us to battle, that they may not extinguish the lamp of Israel. David's season had changed. He was to be a light and inspiration, not the leader of the battle. David was no longer to be the warrior king, but to be a light and an inspiration. God may have had you doing something at one season in your life, but he may have changed. The season may have changed, and God's got you doing something else. Missing your season can have very bad consequences, as David's life illustrates. But before I move on, I want to point out how God, through the Apostle Paul, sums up David's life. Listen to this. Acts chapter 13, verse 36. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep, he was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. I need to be careful when I say this, but you can miss the seasons and still fulfill God's purpose for your life. Let me use a baseball analogy. You can strike out several times and still win the game. Striking out doesn't mean it's all over. It's just at bat, that time is over. The best hitters in the world are also some of the leaders of the striking out. Sammy Sosa had more strikeouts than anyone else in baseball for 3 years in a row, 1997 through 99. But in 97, he had 36 home runs. In 98, he had 66. In 99, he had 63. In the record books of the top 10 home run hitters in the season of baseball, he occupies position 3, 5, and 6. Michelangelo left a lot of unfinished products, but he was still an incredible artist. Have you ever struck out? Have you ever missed a season? Good news is, but your life can still end up where God wants it to be, church. Amen. Just don't quit. Someone says, I missed my season. I guess I'm never going to get married, or I'm never going to have this job, or I'm never going to do this, or I'm never going to do that. No, just don't quit. Amen. Don't give up. As long as you're trying, God's trying. Yes, he is. David served God's purpose, even though he messed up. Mm-hmm. Everyone can admit that they miss God sometimes, one time or another. Sometimes you even get in a season of missing your season. And that's what makes grace amazing. That's why we talk about it so much, church. In a season of striking out, be careful how you label your season, because it will affect how you live your season. Don't make a permanent declaration because of your present conditions. Well, I just always mess up. You may have messed up, but that does not mean you are a mess. Amen. 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 Thank you. Well, I just never get it right. Maybe you didn't get it right. But doesn't mean you can't get it right. No. Well, I'll never love again. How many times you heard that one? I'll never love again. I just think that when I went through my divorce, I thought, I'm through with women, never going to get married again. Then God put me together with Joy. We've been together for 33 years. Well, I'm just never going to be happy again. Maybe you're going through a disappointment. Maybe you're going through a difficult season in your life. But it's going to pass, church. Maybe you're not happy right now, but God wants you to be happy. Well, nothing's ever going to get any better. If you believe that, that's what you're going to have. He said, faith cometh by hearing. You keep hearing yourself, oh, it's just never going to get no better. It's just not going to work for me. That's what you're going to believe. That's what you're going to have. The Bible says we're supposed to count things that be not as though they were. Maybe it doesn't look this way, but God says everything's subject to change by His Word. You don't need extra weight when you're going through a difficult season. You need a coach that's going to pump you up, not pull you down. Look how different David's story would be in 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, if it said David discouraged himself in the Lord. Instead, it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. See, too many of us, we're better at discouraging ourselves than we are at encouraging ourselves. We can find more fault with ourselves than we can find good. I might be a mess. I might not do all the things right, but I'm His mess, and He's working on me. He's working on you. He loves us enough not to leave us where He found us, church. Don't preside over your own funeral. In other words, don't be saying negative, how negative life is over things that concern yourself. Even when you miss a season. If the devil hands you the mic to say some final words, rear up and say, I know whom I believe, and I'm persuaded that He is able to do what He has promised. Do I have anybody that's persuaded in here this morning? I'm fully persuaded. This sickness may have happened, but God is still my healer. I'm persuaded that I may have been in bondage over here, but God's my deliverer. I'm a person that's fully persuaded because I may be going through a financial situation, but God says He'll cause me to prosper. I'm fully persuaded that I may have a time or season of confusion, but God's going to give me direction. Amen? And this too shall pass. When the devil gets on your shoulder and tell you, oh, look what you're going through, it's going to pass. It's going to pass. First Corinthians 10:12 said, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Church, we're all going to miss it. We're all going to blow it. But we need one another. We need one another to pick us up and encourage us. The world's going to beat you down. People out there, they want to find. You know, when I first got saved, they were making bets on if I would stay saved for 6 months. Well, I had a bad track record when it came to marriage, so they didn't think I'd stick with anything very long, you know. But we all make mistakes. But that's where, when you make a mistake, learn from it, get up and help somebody else so they don't make that mistake. Don't you wish our kids, you know when they used to tell us stuff, your mom and daddy tried to tell you stuff and you're like, oh, they don't know what they're talking about. And now we try to tell our kids and they look at us like, you don't know what you're talking about. Don't you wish they'd just listen to you? They wouldn't have to go down that hard road that we've already gone down and found out what their end result is. 2 Corinthians 4:17, last scripture. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. Whatever you're going through right now, it's a season. And God can use that season to cause you to become stronger, more mature, more spiritual, closer to Him, and more like Him. Don't murmur and complain about it. I was murmuring and complaining to God the other day about haven't been able to see my grandkids like I'd like to, and I was murmuring and complaining about that. And God brought me to mind. Yeah, but you know what? You have the memories. And nobody can take those things away from you. Thank God that you had that opportunity. So this morning, if you've been striking out, if you feel like you've missed your season, talk to the coach. Hebrews 4:16 said, let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Quit telling everybody else about your problems and talk to God about them. Everybody else can give you their advice. And sometimes their advice is not really good. But you talk to Almighty God. He created you. He created this world. He knows the plan and the purpose He has for your life. Like I say so many times, we'll run over and tell this person, tell that person, tell this person, tell that person. But we need to be talking to God about it. Amen? Don't miss the seasons He has for you. God has some good things. Amen? And if you do, don't beat yourself up. The devil wants to beat yourself up, get all down the depressed and discouraged. No, you go to God and say, God, I missed it. I blew it. I need your help. We all need God's help. If we didn't need, Jesus never had to come and die and sacrifice and go all through the things He went through, church. We need Him. And not only do we need Him, we need one another. Every one of us is going through something in here. We come in church, we got big smiles on our face, oh, everything's wonderful and great. And there's all kinds of turmoil going on. We need one another. We need to encourage one another. We need to be like David. We need to be a light to somebody else. Somebody's watching your life. You've witnessed to somebody. You've testified to somebody. Somebody's watching your life. You need to be that light this year. Amen? Give God praise and glory in the house this morning. I hope y'all got it this morning, church. Poured my heart out to you. Preached to myself too. Started to bring me some Band-Aids this morning just for me. Y'all stand, please. You know, I used to, when Brother Walker was here, after he had his stroke, he would come down here and preach.